guys. Welcome back to The Pulse. You know, every week we bring in the people who are doing things in all sorts of different fields. I don't even know how to introduce this guy because we brought him on behind the scenes. Y'all can't see any of this, but when he logs on, he's got a better studio than us as we're trying to get set up. You hurt my feelings a little bit. Michael Yo joins us. I'm going to try. What? Comedian, actor, host.
Yes.
I mean, you do the interview, so I guess that makes you kind of an entertainment reporter.
I used to do that. Yeah, I used to enjoy that a lot, you know, talking to people.
So a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I try to sprinkle in everything because, like, I remember I was interviewing Steve Harvey one day, and after the interview, he pulled me aside. He goes, "Hey, man, whatever you do, stack jobs." I go, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "When one goes away, it don't matter because you got five more. So do everything you can and keep stacking." And I'll never forget that piece of advice from Steve Harvey. So
now clearly you're living that piece of advice from Steve Harvey.
Yes, I am. Yep.
So I remember last time I talked to you was on the weekend show that I was hosting before at the station. And I was upset with you because I said you were stacking jobs and can a brother get a job? But thank you, because shortly thereafter I got this show. So somebody
that's
must have been
saying.
Listening.
See, that's the thing, man. Like my dad always told me, be more important than your job. Do everything at your job, so you know you're more important than other people. You know what I mean? Like, you know how to do everything there, and you got to learn your craft. And I was brought up that way, but once I talked to Steve Harvey, man, it really pushed it over the top where you can't rely on one thing anymore. You know, the industry is too small now. And you just need to make your own way, you know, sometimes.
I tell people around here at the station, and I know you, like, you still do radio, satellite radio, what have you.
Yep.
Steve Harvey did and does. I feel like people who do radio are just built different. Like, we're used to having to go out there and grind and take on this. Oh, you need me to do appearances? Sure. I got to cut the commercials. I got you. It's just different.
I know it's different because I'll tell you this. I was on entertainment news, like the biggest entertainment shows in Hollywood, right? And it's so much easier doing a show like that than radio because people can see you, you get catered to, which I'm not complaining about, but it's a lot easier to be successful in that field. It's harder to get the job, but once you have the job, man, if you're good, you're good, you know? But radio, like you said, you're at a grocery store. You know, for 2 hours trying to make the grocery store sound like the most incredible thing ever. Or you're at a car dealership and you're doing a remote, like anybody's ever driving down the street and here you go, "Hey, I'm at Toyota." And then they're like, "Oh yeah, I need to buy a Toyota today."
Right. So, right now.
Right now, at this very moment. So it's a grind in radio, but it prepares you for TV. And I think, and I always say this, I think anyone that does radio can do TV, but I don't think the vice versa. There's a lot of people on TV. I see breaking news, and after a couple minutes of them talking, they have no idea what they're talking about. They just sound crazy, you know? So I don't think it's reverse. You know what I mean?
Right now, I still need this job. So I'm going to say they're very talented people who work in TV
and
do all of those things. But yes,
everybody, I'm not talking about your station.
No,
I'm talking
not
about
us.
Competitors.
Right.
I'm talking about all those competitors.
Everybody else.
Yes.
Yeah, that's facts. All right. So many things to cover. We've just started kind of touching on all the different things that you're doing. But how did you get started? And there's so many different areas that you've been involved in.
So how I got started in radio, I had a friend that was on the radio. He was the youngest DJ in like a mainstream station at the time. He was 16 and the name was Paul Cubby Bryant. He's in New York right now. But he started me and I was like 14. I got a hardship license so I could intern at a radio station in Houston, Texas, because I wanted to work. I loved it. And so I did it. I went to college, played football, got too many concussions. And then I got back into radio and that's when it took off, you know? So that's how I got into radio. How I got into TV, I was doing an interview. I had a radio job in Miami and I had a pretty significant show in Miami. And the president of E at the time, Ted Harbor, heard me on the radio because his daughter was thinking about going to UM. And he goes, "Oh, this guy should be on TV doing interviews. I like his personality." They flew the casting people out to me, interviewed me, put me on tape. 6 months later, I got a TV job. And I thought that's how you got TV jobs. You just, they'll randomly call you and you get put on TV. But then I realized when I got there, how hard it is to get, because I would see lines around our building, people just wanting to get on tape for E at the time. And this is like 2007. You know, this is when E had Chelsea, had Snoop Dogg was on the set. I mean, it was the hottest thing. Everybody in high school and college would watch that show. So then I realized how blessed I was to even get an opportunity to be on TV. But I'm a yes dude. I say yes to everything, and I try to fail fast. So if I'm not good at it, I get out.
Look, 100%. Like, what's that quote? If a tremendous opportunity presents itself and you don't know how to do it, say yes and go learn.
Yes, 100%. And if you don't like it, or you know, you like stand-up. That's how I got into stand-up. It was a dare on Chelsea Lately, on her show. They dared me to try it. I tried it. I fell in love with it the first time. And my thing was, I'm going to go up three times. If I'm awful every single time, I'll quit. Because I don't believe in working in something that I'm not good at. Right. That's just me. And I learned that from people in industry. Fail fast. So get out if you're not good. And it went really well the first three times. So I remember the first time I got off stage, I called my mom. I was like, this is what I was born to do. I love stand-up.
Nice.
And now it's turned into a career.
Man, when I first came to this station, I was hosting a weekend show coming from radio and another kind of show without teleprompters and impromptu, that kind of stuff. And we were practicing 2 days of practice before my first show. And my co-host at the time said, do you even know how to work the teleprompter? And I said, I mean, I can read. Like, how hard can it be? Like, and then I had to spend the next 3 days, 3 months, 8 months, you know, learning how to actually do it. But yeah, it was, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, like teleprompter's a skill too. Don't get me wrong. But you can learn that skill if you do it enough. Personality, you can't learn that. It's whether you got it or not. You know what I mean? So
I'll take that.
Like teleprompter, man, some people make it look flawless, but they got years of practice at it. But that was the hardest thing for me in television. I'm kind of like you. I was on set. It was Ryan Seacrest. He was a host of V. I was on set next to him, and I'd never been on set before. And they just threw me into the fire, and then they go, action. I don't know what that means.
I was like, okay.
So he tossed to me. I don't know what a toss is, right? So I'm just standing there. And, you know, because I faked it till I made it. I pretend like I knew what I was doing. But when I got in there, they were like, oh, no, when he reads his line, he's going to throw it to you, and then you read the next thing. I go, oh, all right, I got this. So I did it, and I learned on the job because I never did TV before I got that TV job. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It took a couple of tries, but after a couple of tries, you get it down, you know?
You got it.
And
look at you now.
Yes, at home,
right,
in my own studio.
In a very cool studio with Jordans and whatnot.
Oh, I'm a Jordan head. I love sneakers. I'm not a sneaker head, but I love Jordans. I got a lot of them.
Okay, fair enough. That once again means your check is bigger than mine. You're collecting Jordans. That's whatever. It's all right.
But you got your own show in Philly, man.
See? This national.
Philadelphia?
This is national. What? It's Fox Soul, too.
Look at that. I mean, this is all across, I'm going to just say world. Right. It's across the world, and you got it. I don't have a show across the world.
You kind of have shows across the world. But anyway, so grinding for years, everything, if you look through your bio, and it's interesting because obviously familiar with you and things you were doing, but, you know, you were doing America's Got Talent when you were already, you know, doing things and already out there.
Okay.
Wait, there's a story?
We got to talk about it. There's so many mean people out there because when I was on AGT, I got so much hate. I've never talked about this, but so many mean comments on AGT because they were like, you already made it. You did this. You already on TV. I was on TV as a host. Being a stand-up comedian, I was just starting my career. So it's a big difference. And it's funny that people expect you just to be successful in one field and will hate on you for trying to be successful in another field. Do those people, and I'm talking to anybody, since this is across the world, I'm talking to anybody out there that really thinks these kids that do those magic or these acts that did, you think that was the first time they ever got together? You don't think they professionals? You don't think, seriously? You don't think they professional? Come on now.
It's a valid point. And it's interesting because when you do shows like yours and hopefully like The Pulse and what we would like it to be, T.I., yeah, the rapper, was just on with us like a few weeks ago. But T.I. right now is on a national comedy tour. So he has started doing comedy, and it was very similar. It was like, dude, you made it in the hip hop field. Like, why are you doing this? And he's like, man, it's cheaper than therapy. I want to get out there. I want to talk to people, and I want to challenge myself to do something else.
And the best piece of advice I got was from Chelsea Handler when I first started comedy. She goes, don't be the dude that's on TV that just shows up for shows and is horrible on stage. Do the work. Like, I respect anybody that wants to try stand up. It's a lot of work to be funny. You know what I mean? So as long as you're doing the work, you're in the clubs, you're hustling, you're trying to make it happen. Like, that was the best piece of advice I got. Cause, you know, I can name a lot of celebrities that try stand up and they're horrible, you know, because they don't do the work. They just show up, try to tell some stories from their past, and it doesn't go well for them. Right. People show up, but they won't show up again. So it's a lot of work. And that's what I love about stand up too. You have to put in the time and work. You can be doing it for 20 years, but only have 5 years of stage time. You know, it's all about stage time. It's not about years you do it. It's about how much stage time do you have? And that is the great equalizer. Because like anyone knows, the stage doesn't care who you are.
That's facts.
You just got to be funny.
Yeah. No, that's facts. The Showtime at the Apollo proved that. Like, they would sit there and boo their mom if she wasn't performing the right way.
They would boo little kids. That's how ruthless. Oh, boo. But I'm 7. Boo.
That's right. Your mom raised you wrong. That's said at the
Your
Apollo.
Mom gave you confidence in something she shouldn't have gave you confidence in. That's what happened.
So all of this, SiriusXM, Apple TV, Facebook TV, yep. Broadcast TV, you know, mm-hmm. your own studio in the house. It sounds like comedy is still the thing that's your passion. Is that fair?
You know, yes, it's my passion. But all of it is. And let me tell you why. Because it's all entertainment. You know what I mean? To me, everything I do is entertainment. It's kind of like going into a restaurant and a chef is cooking. I'm just cooking. He can cook a fish. He can cook chicken. He can cook pizzas. He can cook whatever they order, he can make because it's cooking. So I'm just over here cooking entertainment. Whatever you want, I can try to supply that to you. So that's how I see it. I see it as the same thing. But what I love, what I think stands out about stand-up, you're your own boss. Once you've got that audience, they're with you for the rest of your life, and nobody controls your destiny except you. And that's why stand-up stands out.
Is it hard then? I mean, comedy, I think stand-up comedy is just by nature hard and challenging. Oh, yeah. But when you're somebody who, as you just said, entertains for a living in various fields, is it kind of hard finding that lane? Like, from the person who's interviewing the comedian, you know, having fun with the person, letting them shine, you know, to now I got to go ahead and click into now I got to shine. I got to turn it all on in a different way.
You know what? I've always been, because, you know, your side of the camera, your job is to highlight people and make them mm-hmm. look good. And I really feel that hasn't changed for me, okay. You know, because my job when people interview me is to make the host look good, you know, so I keep the same approach. And I really learned that from, I mean, the guys from Philadelphia, I mean, Will Smith. Mm-hmm. If you ever, and I'm sure you've interviewed him, he makes you feel so special and he makes your interview great. You know what I mean? Because I feel like so many people that get interviewed, they're just there to get their information out and not to make the other person look great. And now those are the interviews like you never want to do again. So I feel my job being interviewed is just like the host. We both need to make each other look great so the interview is great, you know?
So knowing that, does that help you then when you get on stage? You have a better understanding of what I got to do, what I got to bring out.
Yeah, I have empathy, man. I have, because I've been on that side. I've interviewed people with no personality that don't want to be there. And you're just like, well, why'd you even show up? But guess what? Since you're from radio, since you do TV, and I think it's the radio background, you know how to make awful interviews better. You know how to take out the air of these long pauses. You know how to keep the conversation moving. Because let's be honest, in radio, you interview a lot of dull, boring people, but you got to make it happen. You know what I mean?
It's true. People who are convinced that they are a lot more entertaining than they are.
Yeah, but they're not.
Nah. You ask a question, they give like the one word answer.
Yeah. Some of the biggest actors, man, you would think when you see them on TV, they have huge personalities. But no, you forget, oh, that's acting. And in real life, they're very conservative and kind of like shy, you know?
Yeah, you feel like you want to say, could you act like you have a personality?
Right, like, just please. Like, just
like play the role.
Because, Bill, you know, they don't want to be there. They don't want to be there.
I'd like to believe they want to be here, but it's valid. We've had a couple of those. Thankfully, not too many. Most of the people here have been great.
The difference between me and you, Bill, right now, if somebody came in with that attitude with me, I wouldn't even do the interview. I don't care who they are. Like, that's the joy I love right now.
The freedom.
If you've got a bad personality, you come on my show, I'd just be like, oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Bye.
Really? You'd put them out?
Well, it doesn't happen much, but even when I was in radio, I did that. I remember, and this is a long time ago, and she was young. She was super young. I don't want to even say her name, but there was a young, huge artist at the time. Gave me one word answer. She was the biggest artist in the world at that time. I asked her three questions, one word answers. And I was like, oh, thanks for stopping by.
Really?
And she goes, what? And her record label was like, you gonna treat her like that? I was like, no, she's treating me like that. So yes, I'm gonna treat her like that. I hate people that's disrespectful. I've always been like that. So I have no problem putting somebody out. I don't care who they are.
I like that. Good for you. We haven't had to do that here.
Bill, do it, man.
We haven't had to do it here.
You want to go viral, Bill? Put somebody out the studio you don't like.
I did it in radio years back, but that was more of a, like, who you think you're talking to? Just disrespectful people who came on. Not here.
Oh, my God.
Not yet. All right. You are on a tour. There's so many things. I feel like we could just talk. We're going back and forth. But you're on tour now, stand-up tour. You'll be in Philadelphia October 20th, doing a couple shows at Punchline.
Yes.
We encourage everybody to get out there. What are they going to see on the Michael Yo stand-up?
You know what? It's a new tour. I'm putting together new material for a new special. So it's great. The tour is called the Do I Lie Tour. It's a big line that I say out of my last special where my mom goes, do I lie? Because she's so blunt and honest. You know, she'll say the rudest thing to you and go, do I lie? And you're like, no, you're really not lying, but you don't need to say it. But they're gonna hear a lot of family stories, a lot of observation. I don't talk politics, so if you're looking for political talk or some rah-rah like that, don't come to my show. You know, because I try to bring people together through comedy. So it's a lot, you know what? It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of energy. I'll tell you that. And every comic that performs, they bring it. So I'm excited, man. And Philadelphia, that Punchline has been there from the beginning of my career. They supported me. And I appreciate everybody in Philadelphia for coming out every single time I come in. So
people either love or hate coming to Philly. Like, I don't expect you to say you hate it before you're coming to Philly, but people acknowledge it's different, right?
No,
the Philly crowd is different.
No, I love the town, though. Yeah, I love it, man. I have a lot of friends out there that do TV. I have a lot of personal friends I made out there that are in like certain industries. I know like a person that opens a pizza shop once a month and sells out. So I'm gonna go visit him. I love the city and I love everything. I love the crowds that come out because really you can say anything and they're not gonna really judge you. Where you go to a lot of states, if you're on the wrong side of the fence, and I'm not even talking about politics, if you say something they don't agree about, they tighten up, you know? And what about Philadelphia? They don't. They let you talk. And that's what I love.
And we'll go back and forth. Like, Philly's, yeah, I got something
they'll
to
go
say.
Back and forth. Yes, they will. And that's what I love.
I feel like that's a bad idea. I learned the hard way. Don't do that with comedians.
Like, oh, why? What happened?
Don't try to be the funny person. You remember, obviously, Paul Mooney.
Yes.
Yeah, God rest his soul. He came on my radio show back in the day. I was new to this. I was a young guy messing around with thing. And I didn't even try to go back and forth with him. But this dude was like, you know, what's wrong with my hair, the way that I talk, you know, you think you educated, just went on and on and on. It got to the point where I'm just sitting there in the interview like, I don't know what to do.
You just wanted to be over. You're like, please end this.
I was done.
What was it? Now, when you come out of that situation, because I've had that happen to me too before I was a comedian, it's a weird feeling because you're like, yeah, it's funny, but then they also degraded you the whole time we're in the studio.
You know what was it was interesting because I don't have any problem going back and forth being the butt of the joke. Like, essentially that's what you're doing when you're interviewing somebody. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I was just young at that point. It just felt really personal. Like, it was the kind of thing where it's like, wow, like, did I do something to you? And then people afterwards were like, nah, that's who he is. That's you can't sit down with Dave Chappelle and then be mad that he Dave Chappelle's you.
Yeah, but and also at that time in a career, because I've been there too, you're younger, you don't know if you're good at what you're doing yet, so you feel that any criticism, it's in your mind, it blows up like 1,000%. You know what I mean?
It was good, but I get to say I interviewed Paul Mooney. I still got the picture. Like that was
a legend, bro.
That was a check mark.
Yes.
I'm curious with all the things that you're doing, and a lot of people that we've talked to, as the industry has changed, and you've now been in it long enough to have done, you know, pretty much every form.
Yes.
Both kind of established and industry, and now independent also. You can do it yourself. Somebody like you, is that that's a highlight? I feel like talking to the guy with the studio in his house.
Let me tell you something. I got tired. Sick and tired of other people controlling my destiny. Every time I thought something was good, the industry would tell me, no, it's not good. It's not good. Right? So this last special I came out with, I never thought. You can watch it free out there on YouTube. But that last special, I funded myself. I spent all my money on it because I got tired. I got so tired of people telling me I couldn't do it. In the industry, my agent called me after I taped it. It came out great. He goes, do you want to pitch this to networks like a Netflix, like a Comedy Central, whatever? I go, no, because I don't need them to tell you I don't need them to tell me my value. What I'm going to do is put it out, and I'm going to let the real people, the people that really matter, I'm going to let them decide. I put it out, and through all the streaming platforms, it got over 30, 40 million views on clips and the special. It's totally changed my life. And I funded it myself. And now I just signed a deal to do a distribution deal because I own it.
Right.
And it feels so good that I wasn't waiting around for someone to tell me my value. I went out there and made my value and let the people decide my fate. Not some people just sitting in the office going, we like that one. We don't like that one. No. I do it myself now. I do everything myself.
It's changed the industry then? Has it opened more doors for people to come out there? And I'd imagine those meetings go differently when you can say to somebody, look, I would love to work with you, but I got a million followers anyway.
You know what's interesting? I've had several friends. They, by these big networks, got told no. They did their own thing, and now the networks are begging them to be on their platform. And they go, but I'm owning everything.
Right.
And it also puts you in a better position. You're like, well, before, if you were just coming up, they would be like, well, we want to own everything. Now you have a little leverage where you can go, okay, you can own it for 4 years because obviously I've already made it by myself. So you can put it out, do your thing, pay me X number of dollars, but I want it back because I'm not in a position to let people own my product anymore. I want to own everything. I'll loan it to you, but you can't have it because right. I can be successful on my own.
I feel like it definitely has changed the game. And I was telling you before, when New Edition was on, Jazzy Jeff was on, and these were people who were the biggest names when we're coming up.
So big.
And they're telling stories about, you know, New Edition does world tour, millions and millions of dollars for other people, and then their tour bus dropped them back off at the projects. You know, Jazzy Jeff was talking about how parents just don't understand everybody knew that album. And when he won a Grammy, he had less than $500 total.
Yeah.
And now you can do it yourself.
That's right. There's benefits to going the industry route. But if you find success, any little success in doing it yourself, that little success will probably make you more money because you can build that than signing a deal with somebody because they're going to take all the money because that recoup. They put recoup in that. They can put any numbers in that. We all know that. Oh, we got to recoup what we put into you. It's like, really? Well, how much is that? But they never show you. Anyway, and that's more of the music industry. But I feel like I always tell people to go after their dreams, but realistically, right? Stay your job but work on your craft. And once that craft goes well enough where you can support yourself, get out of the thing you hate. And that's what I did, you know, in my life. Like, I loved entertainment reporting, but then after a while, I was like, I was listening to people tell me they're living out their dreams every single day. From The Rock to Kevin Hart to just every celebrity. Everyone's like, oh, this is my dream. I'm doing it. And I'm like, well, this is not my dream, interviewing you. You know what I mean? And The Rock pulled me aside one day. He goes, what are you doing? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, this is what you want to do? I go, no. And he goes, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, I started staying up and I want to act. Gave me his acting coach's number and goes, yo, you need to work on this, you know? And I still did it for another 4 years. So every time after the interview, you go, what are you doing here? You know? And now I can happily say I haven't interviewed him in the last 6 years.
But now you're standing next to him getting interviewed.
That's right. So now the biggest actor in the world is the one, it's very weird, that believed in me more than I believed in myself at the time. And that's what's crazy, that he saw something I didn't even see. And he was like, what are you doing? Every time he said, what are you doing? Did you call my coach? Are you going after your dreams? So that dude is really like, what he preaches, he really is like. Because if he sees talent, man, he kept pushing me. And I'm so happy that I can see him one day, maybe we work together on a project. And he goes, man, this is what's up. You know what I mean? So that meant so much to me that he did that.
It is amazing. You know you're having a good interview when I look up and the 30 minutes are gone that
fast. Is it really?
It's been 30 minutes since we've been talking.
Wow,
we need
man.
To go ahead and wrap that. Couple more things, because we've got themes to the show. But your point was just interesting, because it is one of the things that I love the most about this show, is sitting there and getting the opportunity to talk to people who are pursuing their dreams, chasing their dreams, and they mean what they say. Like that energy, that push, that go for it, the, you know, I did the same thing. To share that energy with people, I think is a real positive.
I think it's a thing where once you're comfortable in your own skin, you really want other people to be successful, because you realize, why should I be the only one successful? Because Bill, if you blow up, you're gonna be like, Michael Yo was cool. You know what? Maybe I can call him up and he can be a part of this. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I always remember people that helped me out. And you're just building, really, from a long distance, when you build friends, you're just building a community of people, hopefully like-minded, that want to be successful. So your network starts here, but now they're decision makers. I was in music 20 years ago as a music director for radio. My local reps, the one that pitched me records, are now running the record companies. And that's what you want to see. You want to see all your friends successful, you know? And you build that network, and people, I believe it's a young person's thing to be selfish and not want to help out anybody because you feel that somebody's going to take something from you. But once you get older and wiser, you learn like, oh, everyone can eat. Yeah. And if I can help everyone eat, that even makes it a better place for me, because if I fall on hard times, these people could help me eat, you know? So it's all about building that community, man. And that's what I love. I'm in a place in my life where I can do what I want, I can say what I want, and I can really help out other people. And that's the most important thing, is helping out other people, like young comics. I take them on tour, you know? So I can give back now, and that's what I love.
I feel like you just segued into the last question we ask everybody, which is the theme of The Pulse, and that is the concept of use your voice for good. Everybody answers that question. What does use your voice for good mean to you?
To empower people, to empower everyone. If you come in contact with them, make them a better person. Make them great. I tell my son every single morning, I go, what are you? He goes, great. I say, what are you going to do? He goes, change the world. And that's what I believe that we have the power to do. You, Bill, have the power to do that because you reach millions of people. Me, I have the power to do that. But just someone watching the show right now, you have the power to make someone close to you or someone you just meet feel great and make them really feel like they can change the world. And I think that's the most important thing.
Michael Yo is on tour. He's in Philly October 20th at Punchline, but continues to tour. Just follow you on social media to get all the dates and updates.
Michael Yo, I was early, so I got everything at Michael Yo. I'll be at Punchline October 20th and 21st. Man, I can't wait to see you, Philadelphia.
Man, I appreciate you. Appreciate your energy. Appreciate what you're doing. Let's do it. Next time you're in Philly, come on through.
You bet, man. And thank you so much and continued success. And man, I really appreciate the time. It means a lot.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to this podcast episode with Michael Yo, comedian, actor, host, you name it. I feel like we're almost the same, minus the bank account. But that will come. Stay with us. I want to encourage you to check out YouTube. We've got a lot of episodes from the past that you may truly enjoy. Some great guests if you haven't had a chance to go ahead and go through it. Also, make sure you hit the subscribe, like, whatever button it is for you on your phone, tablet, computer that gets you the notifications every time a new episode of The Pulse comes out. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you that whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.